Having us this morning, and I know that your pastor wants to be here. I know that he's probably wishing he was here, but he's able to go preach his brother's ordination service, and that's a great blessing that only comes around probably maybe once in someone's lifetime. So it's just I know he misses this place, and I know he misses being here, and just kind of filling in today, so pray that God uses it. Let's stand, if you will, and we'll take our Bibles. Open to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. When your pastor asked if I would preach, two thoughts went through my mind. I know that's hard to believe, two thoughts. Usually just one at a time makes it, but two made it this time. But two thoughts, and the first one was like, okay, I'll preach. The second one was, that's a Mother's Day. And I don't think anybody thinks about preaching on Mother's Day, but maybe a pastor. And I don't think it's one of those things that they're like, oh, yes, I get to preach on Mother's Day. It's one of those thoughts that, oh, there's Mother's Day. So I got to find a sermon for mothers. So that's kind of, I've never, ever thought about preaching on Mother's Day, but here I am. So praise the Lord. So, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we'll read down through verse 31, and then you may be seated after we pray. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for mothers. Lord, thank you for the nurture that they give us, the care that they give us, Lord, when we can't even take care of ourselves. Thank you, God, for the day that we get to remember them and to honor them and to praise them for all that they do. Lord, I pray that you would be with this message today. I pray that you would help us to get something from it. I pray that you would speak to me, use me, Lord, and help me to preach what you'd have me to preach only. In your son's name I ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. I would ask this morning, I know sometimes I'm guilty of it too, come to church, and that's it. I just come to church and I leave, right? And I didn't get anything. But church is the only place I feel like we do exactly that. If we came into the barber shop and we sat down in the chair and we waited for 20, 30 minutes, and then we left, and the barber did nothing, didn't even touch our hair, didn't even put the robe on, we'd be a little crazy if we said, hey, thanks, have a nice day, and gave him $20 and walked out the door, right? Be a little bit wacky. We'd want something to have changed. I need a haircut, so I'm thinking about a barber, so that's why. But but we would want a difference, right? We would want something. You wouldn't walk into a restaurant and sit down and wait however many minutes for food, or you know, wait an hour to be seated, sit there for 20 minutes and then leave and not have any food. You expect something. I think so many times we come to God's house, to church, and we just show up, and we don't leave with anything. We don't leave with any changes. Nothing happens. And yet we act like, well, I went to church today. But did you come seeking God to give you something? Seeking God to giving you something that might change the way you walked in so that there's a difference when you walked out? Maybe just this morning, focus on that and just really ask God, hey, maybe this morning, Lord, give me something so I can walk out of here a little different. That's free. That's not even part of the sermon. So this morning, when your pastor asked me to preach, those two thoughts came through my mind. And then I was like, wow, Mother's Day, I don't know what to preach. And then almost as fast as those words came out of my mouth, God gave me a passage within these two chapters of Luke. And I knew right after then that that's what I was supposed to be preaching on, without a doubt. Now, it's changed a little bit as how much I'm going to preach from these two chapters, but God gave me this message, so I pray that it's a blessing. In verse 28 of Luke chapter 1, it said, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Some lessons maybe from the Mother Mary this morning. Jesus' mother. I want to say she's not perfect. Joseph, her husband, was. No, I'm kidding. Sassine, if you guys were listening, he didn't catch it. She wasn't perfect. Nobody's going to be a perfect mother. You didn't have one. I didn't get one. My wife's not going to be one. Seeing how big of a hole I can dig today. That's the first of many. But nobody had a perfect mother. She wasn't perfect. Can I say this too? That many denominations put Mary on a pedestal she should not be on. She was not perfect, but her son was. She did not die for your sins. Her son did. She is not sitting in heaven this morning listening to your prayers and answering them. Her son is. But some denominations put her in a spot that she should not be in. Am I saying she's any less popular or any less marvelous than the Bible paints her? No. She gave birth to our Lord and Savior. She is, as the Bible says, blessed among women. And this morning, you know, there's two things. There's one thing that I would like to hear the Lord say to me when I go to heaven and after I die. It's well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what another thing would be good to hear said? The angel came and said, hey, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Thou art blessed. I would love to hear maybe God's angel say, thou art highly favored. Just as much I would like to say maybe that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That word favored, I looked it up. That word favored has many different synonyms. Blessing being one of them. Grace being another. But there's another one that you maybe have heard in the media recently, and it isn't in a good light. Privileged. Privileged. You've heard that talked about on the media, and can I say this? The only privilege that matters in this life is the privilege of being a child of God. That's the only privilege that matters. Nothing else matters. That should be something we long for, is God's privilege, God's blessing, God's favor. And Mary had that here in verse 28. That's what that angel came to say. I would like the Lord's blessing on my life. I would like that privilege. I would like that favor. If I was to have a poll, if you would choose this morning, it'd be a simple one, whether you have God's blessing, favor, privilege, or whether you have God's cursing, it'd be a no-brainer, wouldn't it? What'd you choose? His blessing, his privilege. Anybody in their right mind would choose that over being cursed by God. Mary has that blessing, that favor. So just a couple of things. How do we end up with this kind of status from God? Favored, blessed, privileged. Mary possessed three things that gave her this. God didn't just choose Mary at random. She wasn't just somebody that was living recklessly. There was three things that set Mary apart. And say, well, what if Mary wasn't doing what she was supposed to? Well, God will always find somebody to get his work done. God will always find a way to get things done. But I first want to point out, Mary gave up some things for her to become favored by God. She gave up some things. If you're taking notes, that's number one. Say she gave up some things. You know what? Can I say this too? God would never ask us to do something that he would do himself. God would never ask us to do that. Mary, he asked her to give up some things. God did the same thing. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave. He would never ask us to do something that he himself would not do. Well, what'd she give up? Her body. Her body. It says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. You ask any mom in here today, giving your body to be a home for a child for 9 to 10 months and not being able to tie her shoes, or in this case, Mary's sandals, she wasn't able to latch probably. Or back then you had to walk miles a day to get to anywhere to get food, water, and that's something, you're giving up something. That's something you have to give up, your lifestyle, right? It changes. My wife's pregnant right now, so she's always complaining. No, I'm kidding. But you have to give up some things, right? Romans 12:1 talks about that very thing. For I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hey, God gave his only son. Jesus gave his body. He says that in the Bible. You know what? That's not the only thing she gave up if we're going to be favored or privileged by God. She gave up their beginning. She was espoused, as it says in verse 29. And when she saw him, one of the verses here. Oh, 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. She gave up her body. She gave up their beginning. Now, her and Joseph were espoused, which means that they haven't been married yet. But I'm sure that Mary had plans for how their wedding should go. I'm sure she had plans for how their early life would be, plans for when they would have their children, maybe plans for names for their children already thought out. And Jesus, God's angel, came and said, you're going to bear a son. You're going to call his name Jesus. She gave up her beginning. Everything she had hoped and dreamed and planned, she gave that up. You don't see her saying, oh, no, Lord, I can't do that. I'm sorry. No, she willingly did it. And she was happy to, if you read down further. She gave up some things. Thirdly, I want to say, she gave up basic needs. Basic needs. She gave her body, she gave their beginning, and she gave up her basic needs. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, turn with me in Luke, one chapter over, 2 and verse 7. Verse 7 says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a nice birthing facility. Is that not what that says? And laid him in the comfort of their home. No, I don't see that in there either. Laid him in a manger. Laid him in a manger. Where the cattle are. Where the animals are sleeping. Our Savior was born there. She gave up her basic needs. You know, we haven't done it this time around, but when we are expecting our first son, we went and we checked out the hospital. We checked out, you know, the nurses, the station like that. And if you've been pregnant recently or anytime, you would have done this, hopefully, maybe. Checked out where you're going to have the baby. But mostly you were looking to see if it was cleanly, if they were friendly, right? If there were rats running across the floor at the nurse's station or, you know, animals all in there, you would be thinking, I don't think we're going to have our baby here. Right? Jesus was born in a manger. She gave up her basic needs to have the baby maybe somewhere cleanly, to have Jesus maybe somewhere comfortable. She gave up her basic needs. That's just one aspect. Maybe, I don't know, God is possibly telling you, saying this morning, hey, there's something I want you to give up. I can use you more if you just give up this. Maybe give up that. Maybe just a Starbucks every once in a while so you can give to missions. Maybe just some time watching TV so that you can be in your Bible a little more. What is he asking you to give up this morning? That's just one of the things that we can learn from Mary. Secondly, I want to say, she gave up some things, but she kept some things. Mary kept some things. Luke 1, in verse 34, says, "Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Earlier in the verse, it said Mary was a virgin. The virgin's name, Mary. I want to say this. This morning, she gave up some things, but she kept some things. She kept her purity. And I know that's not a popular one now, but keeping your purity is huge. Keeping your purity is huge. And it might not be, maybe physically, but maybe mentally. Mentally, we need to stay pure. Mentally, we need to keep pure. Maybe you just got saved, and maybe before you weren't pure or living right. But can I say, after your salvation, God loves giving fresh starts. And that's what that is. Bible says that you are a new creation once you get saved. You have a fresh start. Whatever things happened before you got saved, that's the past, that's under the blood. You can start pure. How about she kept her purity? Secondly, I want to see something else that she kept. She kept her testimony. You know who else kept their testimony? Noah. Talking about a day when everybody was wicked and living wrong and doing right what that was in their own eyes, right? Noah found that favor, that same thing, just like Mary did. Found that grace, found that privilege. Because he kept his testimony. Kept his testimony. Luke 1:28. Like it says, "Thou art highly favored. Blessed art thou among women." Other women would look at her and there was a difference. They could see it. She kept her testimony. If we're going to have that blessing on our lives that we want, that we need, because being in God's cursing is not where you want to live. You want to be in the center of his will. You want to be in God's will. If we want that, we need to keep our testimony. James 1:27, if you turn there. James 1:27 says exactly that. Says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in the affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." To keep himself. She kept some things. That's what the Lord wants us to do, is to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, keep our testimonies. How's our testimony this morning? Do people at work even know that you're a Christian? Do maybe friends that you talk with online even know that you're a Christian? Well, how come is that? Is that because your testimony isn't showing when you speak to them? How come that? Because maybe you laugh at the jokes that they tell that you shouldn't? How is that? Maybe they catch you doing something at work that isn't really what a Christian should be doing or living. How's your testimony? She kept that. She kept her purity. Thirdly, I want to say this morning, she kept something else. This is probably one of my favorite things that she kept. If you turn with me to Luke 2:51. Luke 2:51. If you know anything about this story, Mary and Joseph just went down to Jerusalem for the Passover. They left Jesus there. I'm just saying, if you haven't been left at church, you need to. It'll change your life. Luke 2:51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. And his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Something else that Mary kept, Jesus said in verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not I must be about my father's business? It says they understood not, but in that verse that we just read, 51, it says, Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. You know, that sounds familiar to another verse. The Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Mary did exactly that. She had the living, breathing, walking version of our Bible in front of her day after day. And just like my child, he says, Daddy. Man, when he said Daddy the first time, I loved it. I kept that saying in my heart. That memory's locked. I don't know how he began to say Mommy first or Cracker before Daddy. Maybe he thought I was a cracker. I don't know. But finally, he said, Daddy. And I kept that saying. But you know what? Mary kept Jesus' sayings. And we should do the same, especially if the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know what? I can think of some sayings that Jesus said that I love to cling to. How about, I will never leave thee. Will forsake thee. I need that. The Bible says on the cross that Jesus was alone, that God the Father forsook him. Jesus said, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a saying that we can hold on to. That's a saying that we need to keep as Mary did. How about this? Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. You know, many times people pray, and if you read through Psalms, there's people that pray to idols that have not ears or eyes and expect them to do something. We don't pray to a God like that. We pray to a God who is all-knowing, listening at all times to our prayers, our needs, knows what we need before we even ask it. And this saying right here, ask and it shall be given. That's something that we need to keep. John 14, verse 3, this is another good one. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Talking about when Jesus comes again, he's going to take us with him. That's a saying we can keep. And I don't know about you, but that's coming around the corner. You can see it. Signs of the times are everywhere, as the Bible says. That's a saying that we can hold on to. He's coming back for us. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. Jesus said that. Jesus was perfect. He couldn't tell a lie. I'm going to hold on to that saying till the day I die because I trust in it. That brings us to our last point. She believed some things. This morning, I know that if you were to choose between God's blessing or cursing, you'd want a blessing. I know that if you choose between his favor, you'd want his favor. Mary had all these things. It's because she gave up some things. She kept some things. And lastly, she believed some things. Luke 1 and verse 45 says this. John the Baptist's mother just got done talking and is talking here in this verse. And she's talking about Mary. And she says, then blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believed. Mary believed some things. She believed, first of all, in the importance of church. She believed in that. How do you know that? Well, Luke 2, verse 41. Now, as parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And you know what? When they had left Jesus at church for the Passover, when they had left him there, it says, if you read on, it says that when they realized he wasn't with them on their travelings back to their home, that they turned back a day's journey to go visit some relatives to see if he stayed there. But he wasn't there. So they were already a day away. Then it says after that, after they realized he wasn't with their family there, they went another 3 days' journey to Jerusalem and found him sitting in the temple there. 4 days. That's not even from home. They were 4 days away. But that's how long that they had been without Jesus. Some of us can't even come to church or find it hard to get to church when we're 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes away. And I know work weeks can be long. Maybe you're tired on Sunday. You don't think maybe just that Jesus went out of his way to do something for us? The Bible does say that he went a little further. You know, maybe it is a little extra push for us to get up on Sunday and get ready for church and make it to church, especially if you have kids. And mothers will say yes, because dad's usually doing something else and she's having to get the kids ready. I'm not getting myself in trouble, but that might be what happens. But she believed some things. She believed in church. Said they went every year to Passover. Every year. We have to, just like Mary, have the importance of church. That needs to be something we believe. A belief is a deep-seated conviction, something that we hold on to. If we think of church as just something that we do because we should, we're not going to be in church when we don't feel well. We're going to be not in church the moment we sneeze. It's like, oh, I don't feel well. I just sneezed, so I probably shouldn't come to church tonight. Or in Washington, oh, it's raining. I probably shouldn't. You won't go to church at all for like 9 months out of the year. She believed some things. One of those was attending church, being in church. Lastly, she believed that her son was the only way to heaven. She believed her son was the only way to heaven. Verse 33, and he shall reign, Luke chapter 1, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Verse 36, 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Mary believed exactly what that angel was saying. Exactly that she would give birth to the Son of God, her Savior, our Savior. Mary believed that. This morning, I don't know who all I'm talking to. I believe that I'd be speaking to everybody who is saved and who knows that Jesus is their Savior. But maybe you don't this morning. That's something you need to settle. Especially if you want God's blessing and God's favor on your life. Just like Mary. Maybe that one day you'll be able to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. this morning, this Mother's Day, what can we learn from Mary? Those three things. And maybe God's asking you to give up something. Maybe God's asking you to step down from your job so that you can have more time to do service for Him. Maybe God's asking you to keep some things. Keep your children and family and church. Keep your testimony. Maybe God's asking you to believe some things. Most importantly, believe that He died and rose again and that He's the only way to get to heaven. This morning, I don't know how this message might speak to you, but I know it's spoken to me. I know there's some areas that I need to give up some things. I know there's some areas that I need to keep better hold on some things, especially God's Word in my heart and in my life. And I know that there's some areas that I need to strengthen what I believe. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I don't know about you, but when I look at Jesus' mother, this Mother's Day, when I look at Jesus' mother, her life is convicting. She was a perfect example of how we should be in our daily life. She was exemplary, and that's why God used her. She gave up some things. She kept some things, and she believed some things. How about you, Christian? Maybe God's spoken to you this morning. Pray and ask that you would just, in your seats there, maybe tell God that you'll do one of these three things. Maybe all of them. And if you're not saved this morning, may you come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. We'll pray and then we'll be dismissed. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our mothers, Lord. We thank you for your mother, your earthly mother, Lord. Thank you for the example she could be to us on this Mother's Day, to mothers and fathers alike. Dear God, we pray that we would be maybe just a little part of what she is. Lord, she kept her purity. She kept her testimony. She gave her life, her body, everything to you. God, she believed in you. Pray and ask, God, that you'd use this message. And may, like I said at the beginning, we leave with something. Maybe something that would have changed us today. In your Son's name we ask and pray all these things. Amen.